Welcome back to the Filipina Journey Podcast. I have here Karina. If you guys don't know, I guested her already here on my show. And for those who don't know you yet, introduce yourself. Go ahead.
Hello, Isa. Thank you so much for having me again on my second time here on the Filipina Journey Podcast. This is really an honor to be here again. And you don't get invited twice. So I take this very, very well. And so for those who haven't listened to our first episode, I suggest you listen. But if not, I'm going to introduce myself. So I am a writer, a surfer, and also a farmer and a dog mom. It happened not as I expected, but in that order. And I'm also a mentor helping others live a more creative life and help them build a life by their own design. So right now I'm writing my first book, maybe a first of two books, and I'm really excited about life and seeing my puppies grow and excited for the waves to come back by the end of this year. That's who I am.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, in my previous episode with you, we talked about your surfing life. It's basically her journey. But then, yeah, she also has a podcast. Do you want to tell me more about your podcast?
All right. I almost forgot. My baby. My other baby. That's a problem. You have a lot of babies. You tend to forget their names. So, but thank you for reminding me. So I also run a podcast. It turned a year old. I forgot too. So I guess celebrating that here with you, my podcast is called Stock to Stoke Podcast. So I've rebranded it a couple of times over the year, but it's becoming more and more a podcast about creative living. So you can go there and hear about tips, not just writing tips or journaling tips, but tips on really living the creative life and higher creative life. So, yeah.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I really love your podcast because it's very inspiring. Like, there was this episode about laziness, right? Yeah, I really learned a lot from that. And yeah, you also said in your introduction that you're also a mentor. So, before my previous episode with you, I talked about your journey. We talked about you living there in the province. But today, I want to talk something a bit different. I wanted it motivational because that's basically what you do and you inspire a lot of people, especially through your podcast. So basically the topic for today's episode is staying motivated amidst the pandemic. So I think you're the perfect person that I can talk to about this topic. I'll start with my first question here. How do you set goals for yourself? Because of course, before you just stay motivated, of course you have to set goals for yourself. And how do you do that?
So goals can be a very tricky place to talk about. There are a million ways how to create goals, but for me, what really works and what really gets me to love the goals rather than hate them for not accomplishing them is by adopting a mindset where you look at goals as guides or as light posts. If you've ever come across Bullet Journal or the Bullet Journal community, the original creator, Ryder Carroll, has this very wonderful way of framing it. And I adopted it into my own. And I really like it because the main thing is that your goals are not a destination. Like if your goal is to monetize your podcast, reach a million by 2025, let's say, that's a destination. And yes, it can be a goal. But if, example, But it's a lofty goal. It's a goal that takes time. And the thing that we need most when we have goals is kailangan natin maging motivated. We need to be motivated and we need to have patience, right? We need to have patience and the perseverance to actually finish it. So for me, I create goals as guides, starting from small ones that are short. But when you combine short sprints, they become your big goal. So that's how I see goals. So it's like you have a big goal and you have little goals underneath it that contribute to the big goal. And that's how I manage goals and create goals. So it makes it fun for me. I feel I'm accomplishing more And every single thing I accomplish drives me closer and closer to the big goal. And it also allows me to celebrate small milestones that contribute to the bigger goal. And that helps me become motivated, helps me focus, stay focused. And seriously, it's so much lighter on the soul because you're really accomplishing something rather than waiting to celebrate that major goal, which you're not even sure if you want that goal. What I mean to say is you're not even sure if you spend all these hours, all this time, and when you reach that goal, you realize you didn't really like it in the first place, or you don't really enjoy it as you thought because you changed along as you created these goals. So that's how I would really recommend you approaching or reframing goals.
Yeah, definitely. Wow, I love what you said. You said one thing, patience. And especially right now in the pandemic, I feel like a lot of people are feeling hopeless. They're just tired already with what's happening. Do you have any tips on how, you know, to stay hopeful, you know, in achieving that dream, in achieving the goal of yours, in especially during this time of pandemic?
Patience is hard. Patience requires so much of you. But the good thing is you can build on patience. And this is the first time I'm saying it out loud, but I've been doing it behind the scenes. I'm not as active as I used to be on social media because I find it better for me to just do it the work and be patient about promoting or be patient about sharing the final product. But I'm ready to share it with you because you already asked for it. One of the best ways to develop patience is to also develop a deeply personal practice that you can stay committed to. Because patience is developed in the process of commitment. And if you've developed a personal practice that's something you wake up to every day, maybe it started as a hobby that became a ritual, that became your way of life. Like example, surfing for me became a practice. I did it every day. Journaling became a practice because I do it every day and I cannot imagine living a day without doing it. I mean, I could survive, but I wouldn't be at my best. So to cultivate practice is that you've got to find something that you really are passionate about and stay committed to it. It can be as simple as starting a journaling practice. And in my podcast, I share with you how to start a practice. And, you know, in my practice, in my mentorship, I also have clients that I actually like really tell them to start journaling. Like, and I will give you one thing that I tell my clients: morning pages. You can find it in my resources on my website, but morning pages is one of the easiest, the cheapest way to develop and cultivate practice, because you have to wake up every day to do it, to write on your journal, to write the pages. And not everybody has the capacity nor the perseverance to do it and the patience to keep doing it. And if you're one of those persons who've developed this practice or already have it, you are well better off than the majority who just want to say, I want to do something but never get started.
Yeah, that's great. Like just what you just said, start doing something that you're passionate about para along the way, hindi ka nabobore, you're not, you know, just there. But then I have a question. Like, for example, I want to start, examples, dancing. I want to learn dancing. But then I start doubting myself. Like, oh my gosh, what if I won't be good enough? What if I fail? Like, what's your say on that? I want to do something that I'm passionate about. But then there's this fear. There's this doubt that's like just yelling at you.
Yeah, limiting beliefs. That's what I would call that. And a lot of imposter syndrome, which is also under limiting beliefs. And it's normal. It's okay. Everybody goes through that. But you know what? We are living in a culture where we're always made to feel like we're not enough. Like we're always made to feel like we have to do something more. And my answer to that and the feeling of, oh, you're afraid to do something because you're afraid you're not going to be good enough for it. I mean, everybody starts at something. So you don't have to put yourself in a position where you have to, let's say, make money out of it immediately or be good at it that you would get a million followers in like a month. you have to in order to combat this one, you have to know the reason why you're doing it. So what is your purpose? If you want to start dancing classes because you feel inspired by BTS and their journey and you want to be a hip-hop dancer, if that's your reason, ask yourself why. And you don't just ask yourself once, ask yourself five times. So I call this the five whys. Have this exercise when you're about to do something and you're not sure if it's worth the time and effort in investing in it. And by the fifth why, if you've uncovered the purpose or your intention for doing it, then that can help you create your goals according to that purpose. So that whenever you're faced with like, am I good enough? And then you're gonna ask yourself, why do I need to be good enough? Can't I just do it and do it badly? Because the point is, it makes me feel happy when I do it. And if it makes you feel happy, it doesn't matter if you're good or not. The fact is that you're doing it. So that is how I would approach that. You've got to know your why. You got to know why you're doing it, your intention behind it, and then make goals out of that. So if you just really wanted to be a good dancer and I want to be like, you, I don't know, we already had BTS as an example, and BTS is kind of like, it's BTS day to day. My sister's an ARMY, FYI. So you want to be as good as them, then your purpose is to excel at this one. And so what you need to do, first, learn how to dance. Second is practice every day. Create like an actionable with the time, some actual goal time frame, and then just develop shorter goals, but that add to your bigger goals. And it all ties up with your original question. So I love how I can answer this and just piece everything together. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. First of all, happy ARMY Day.
Yeah. Happy ARMY Day.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I want ARMY. But
did you watch it?
Yes. It's so good. They're so good. But yeah. Yeah. You said like steps on how to do it. And I just want to move on to the next question I have here. How do you stay productive? Like, for me, because there's a difference between productive and busy. And, you know, yes. You're busy, you're just doing things, but really at the end of the day, is it really a productive day for you? So this is connected then on staying motivated amidst the pandemic. Because, like, of course, you need to be productive. So how do you stay productive, especially right now? In the middle of the pandemic.
So what we're talking about here doesn't just stay within the pandemic. I think if you're able to cultivate these approaches and these tools, they're going to help you beyond the pandemic. And we're also hoping for that future to come. And I think it's really soon, as long as they get all the vaccines out and everybody gets vaccinated, or at least we can develop herd immunity. Okay, that's another topic for another day. But to answer your question, productivity is really, you're right, it's not about being busy. It's not about the number of things on your list. And it's not about telling everybody, oh, I did these things. And yeah, like appearing busy or you're just doing something. How I stay productive is I also measure like what is productivity to me. So it ties back to what you asked about the goals as well. So what are my goals? And are the things that I'm doing in a day helping me towards these goals? And again, it's not about the number of things that you do. It's about doing more with less. So my tip would be, if you have a goal, if you've created sub-goals and how to approach them, and let's say you want to create your own business so you don't have to work for somebody else, but right now you're working for another company. So obviously your 9-to-5 job comes first. That's part of your day. And if you're one of those people who have a 9-to-5 or have another job, but you also want to build your own thing, I would suggest that you can batch your goals into something that's weekly and do nothing more than 3 major tasks a day and have no more than 3 major meetings if they're more than an hour or so. Like, you really have to look at your day, and this is the only time that I have. And you have to also do something for yourself, like one major self-care item. If you can do it daily, then that's great. For me, my self-care is journaling. And on a weekly scale, one of it is dancing with my dogs or going out in nature, or doing something for my creative child, something like that. So it's about scheduling what's important for you, which is the self-care, which is your passion, your priorities, and also making sure that you're not overcrowding your calendar, because then you'll burn out. And I don't want that to happen. So that's how I would measure productivity and how I also organize my life according to what's the priority.
Yeah, I like how you connected it with the goals. that we just talked about a while ago. But I want to go back to about goals. Is it fine if I ask you, like, did you ever, you know, fail to achieve a goal, but then, you know, you were able to stand up? How were you able to do it?
Oh, I can. That's super easy. I've failed a lot of goals. And some of them were goals that I didn't even ask why I wanted to, because everybody seems to have those goals, like start your own business, earn your first 100K. You know, the usual things that you would see in the entrepreneurial world. Or so I've failed goals. I've kind of, even the income goal that I had, like, so reaching 100K. I didn't know I reached 100K because I didn't have a proper financial system, personal finance system, that I just realized when I already had the system and I started backtracking my income, like, oh, I didn't know I reached 100K with my business, but I didn't feel that I reached it because I didn't have a way of tracking it. And so I failed, and I thought I failed that goal. So here's the thing. I thought I failed that goal, and oh my God, I was really sad about it. And I really, really kind of went through a tough time because I felt that, oh, I'm a failure, and that maybe I couldn't do business or I wasn't good enough to do this one. And then I realized that what was wrong with me was actually I just didn't have systems. I wasn't the one that was wrong. I just didn't have a way to systematize things, to track things. And I didn't even, because I only had a big goal, like a 100K goal. If I had a 20K, a 30K, a 50K, if I had incremental goals, like the shorter goals, I would have been able to track them better. And so what I learned from that is that you can feel bad, you can cry, but if it's really your soul's calling to pursue a certain goal, you're not going to give up. And I am releasing an episode about that, this specific thing. Like, I thought I quit podcasting completely, and podcasting was a goal, and I think that I quit it, I stopped, that I failed it. So I dive deeper about that and what I learned and how I went through that. But to give you a taste of what I also talked about there, I really had to stay grounded in a personal practice, which was one of them was journaling. And I really had to take a step back. I had to reevaluate what was really my purpose. And upon realizing my purpose and my intention, I had to check whether that felt aligned to me, because we also have goals that maybe the reason why we didn't achieve them was because they weren't really beneficial for us, or they were not meaningful anymore, or we grew out of it. So, but like with my goal that I failed it, that my quote business failure or income failure, when I realized that I actually achieved it in the end, I'm like, oh, it can be done. And so I set new goals. But this time I knew what I learned was to have systems, was to have tracking, to be more compassionate, to have incremental goals. Then it doesn't feel too scary because I knew I did it. I just didn't know I did it. So the thing here is awareness and in learning from your mistakes. And if it still feels meaningful for you to pursue and it's, you know, the purpose behind that one, then you can start and try again.
Wow, yeah. That's amazing. First of all, I just love everything you say because it's so inspiring. But I love one word you said, which is awareness. Yun nga, I think everyone should also be aware on, like, their achievements, what they want in the future, and so. And I want to ask, actually, I should have asked this sa unang-una, but why is it important to stay motivated?
So when we think about motivation, we have this parang mental picture of somebody who never gets tired, somebody who's perpetually doing something meaningful and productive, and they're like a machine. And I want to change that mental picture, because that's not how motivation is for me. I think that motivation comes in waves. They come in cycles. Like the cycle of nature and harvesting and fruits, for example, or even the waves. My time that it comes, there's a flat season, and then there's a season that it's active again. And so I would like to think that motivation is like a harvest, like a season of planting, a season of harvesting, or like it's something that you plan for. It's something that you grow, and then it's something that you nurture, and then you reap the harvest. We're too focused. I talk about myself as well. I was too focused on motivation as just harvesting, as just production, as just results, that we tend to forget the whole other three phases that we need to produce something. You need to work. You need to nurture it. And if you fail, you try again. So the key here, which ties perfectly with all your other questions, is really, number one is your awareness. Like, what are you working towards to? What do you need to stay motivated for anyway? Because if you don't know what you're working for, you don't know what you're acting towards to, like exactly what you want, then you're definitely going to run out of the motivation. You're going to run out of the spark, because motivation is not enough if you don't have the passion. It's not enough if you don't have the perseverance. And it's not enough if you also don't have the patience, because those perseverance and patience is really what differentiates successful people from the not successful people, because these two things are the ones that really kind of allow you to stay in the game for the long term, like for life or beyond your life. Those are my dogs. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, wow. And I just want to ask also, because I know a lot of people who get anxious a lot, they have anxiety, depression, and all that. Do you have any tips for people who get anxious easily, so it's harder for them to actually stay motivated and all that? What are your tips for them?
That's a beautiful question. And I have a lot of answers for this one, but I think the easiest one, the ones that are actionable. So if you're listening to this right now, know that you're not alone. And I would suggest that you, if you have the opportunity to seek help, go and seek help. But it doesn't mean in a form of like just doing Western medicine or you're going to a therapist or something. Like, you can just seek help and support by going to people you know will be good for you. And if you're having difficulty finding connections, I know it's a topic that's talked about not just here in the Philippines, but around the world, that we are feeling lonelier and lonelier with our lives, with what's happening. And anxiety comes like that. I had anxiety, you know, even before the pandemic. And the only way for me to work through that, like not have those little mini anxiety attacks, or you know, your stomach starts to feel weird and you just can't breathe properly. I'm happy to say I've moved past that. And the only way that you could move past that is for you to find something you can stay grounded on. And that involves also seeking community, seeking connections. And it's hard, because seeking meaningful, deep connections entail you to be very vulnerable, not very, very, but vulnerable, right? Not oversharing. You only become vulnerable to people who deserve your vulnerability. And you have to also be able to discern that. And we women are very intuitive about that. And so I would encourage you to listen to your intuition, because maybe the anxiety that you're feeling is because you've been disconnected to yourself as a woman, or if you're a man, there's something that's not aligned with you, right? So check in. I encourage you to journal about it. There's more resources about journaling, not just on my website or my podcast or in my newsletter, which you can sign up for. It's free. There's also a lot of that in the internet, on YouTube. Don't muddle on it alone. Like, go reach out to somebody. Like, I am offering my space and my capacity to be part of something that's meaningful and creates change. But you can also, there's so many wonderful online communities right now that are growing to cater to people like us who have anxiety, who are feeling alone in this, especially if you're a woman and especially if you're part of a minority group. So my advice is to seek help, like go out there. And if it's too much for you, the best help you can seek is just in front of you, in a pen, in a notebook, like a pen and a notebook. So go out. And if not going outward, go inward. And that involves you being honest with yourself, being uncomfortable, asking yourself the questions of why. And it starts there. So if you can't go outward, go inward. And you have the journal, you have the pages, and you have yourself to start with. So those are my tips and yeah, actionable steps that I've tried personally to go move through anxiety and everything else attached to that.
Wow, I love it. Yeah, you know what, Journaling is the best way to really let your emotions out, let your feelings out. So I love how you mentioned journaling. And you also mentioned community. I think it's also important to have a good support system nga. So yeah, you mentioned community. That's why I want to ask another question. Like, how do you approach situations na parang there's this passion within you, you got the motivation and all, but then there's negativity around you? So for example, I'm really motivated to do something I'm passionate about, but people around you are parang saying, ay, wag mo na yan gawin, it's like that, it's like this. So how do you deal with that situation?
It's difficult, number one. It's difficult if you have people who are not supportive of your vision, of your dreams. But it does not mean you don't try and do it. And here's where your question earlier about, you know, what I said about seeking connection is that if you can't find people who will genuinely support you, I mean, if you don't have people around you that genuinely support you, you can go out and find people. You can go out and, you know, join Facebook groups, join communities. Because I found some of my best friends right now through those. And we've been meeting regularly on Zoom, talking about life, entrepreneurship, our challenges, even our dogs. So it's not impossible. It's hard, but it's not impossible. And yes, you will get rejected. And yes, you will fail because not everybody is your cup of tea, and not every tea is something you want to drink. I don't know if that made sense. But what I really believe is that there will be people who will believe in your crazy, maybe silly ideas. And sometimes those are the best ideas to run with. And so, and this is also for you to also be careful about sharing intimate or like sharing your ideas and dreams, because not everybody, even if they mean well, not everybody will see the same way you do. And so before you share something that you know is so special to your heart, you have to check whether that person is worth sharing to. And they can be family that they're with you, or maybe they're not. They can be your relatives, maybe they can, they're not. Maybe not, they, maybe it's their friends, and maybe they're not. So not everybody who even have good intentions towards you will be beneficial to share your dreams with. And so be careful who you share them with. And when you share them, make sure that the person you're sharing to has earned the right and you feel completely, intuitively aligned in sharing. And hindi lang din sila yung people who will keep pushing you on, like, hey, go, 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 just to close the conversation. Sometimes the best people are those who also question you in a good way, in a respectful way, and they challenge you and they get you to think on the other side. But they will not be ones to discredit you. They will not be the ones to not listen to you. So yeah, those are some of the things, like the red flags that you see. If you're with people who are always yes men, yes sirs, go, 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 you can do that laban lang, who can't handle deep conversations, they're not the ones you should be sharing your dreams with. I say that with sass, but it's true.
Yeah, definitely. Totoo nga yan. And I just want to ask also, how do you, of course, in achieving your goals and your dreams, you know, there's always obstacles. So I just want to ask, how do you stay like mentally healthy in achieving those dreams, in achieving those goals? Kasi of course, even I myself, yung mga goals na I tried to achieve, of course, I went through hard times. And of course naman, you sometimes really can't avoid those. So how do you just like deal with like doubts, anxiety properly along your journey in achieving your goal? Commercial break in 3, 2, 1. A big shout out to Pedaliver. The Filipina Journey is partnered up with Pedaliver, a delivery app that uses bikes. They're eco-friendly and they offer the lowest rates. So, download the Pedaliver app now, available in the App Store and Google Play. And don't forget to use the code Filipina to get 15 pesos off your delivery. Okay, back to the episode.
And the way I would not really recommend, like I would invite you to try, is to see them like your emotions. These, whatever these things, they're your emotions, they're your feelings. And mostly what we're feeling, what you were saying, mostly they can be feelings. And then they tied up to our old narratives or old stories we tell ourselves. So every stage of your personal growth, you are breaking, transcending through another version of yourself. And at the same time, as you grow, you're shedding new skins for old, new identities for old. You're going to always mourn a former identity. Like, let's say you've been so inspired, you are like, you had a very bad traumatic experience that helped you or forced you to grow. But then that knew that, or like, or but then you knew that growing would be saying goodbye to, let's say, the old Isabel who was too ashamed to speak about her dreams, or too afraid to try something new. Let's say that's the old identity you mourn. Because now you're ready to try something new. You're ready to fail and be bad at something in order to, you know, learn something. And so what first I would really say is, number one, be kind to yourself. Let yourself cry if you need to cry. Let those emotions, feel them. Feel all the feels. And second, be aware of those feels. Now, what comes in handy, and I also give this to my clients, I would share with them a emotion wheel. You can Google this one. It's not a secret and it's free. So try to see what you're actually feeling, because awareness is the key. Being aware with something, being aware. And then the second thing is naming it. Once you're aware what you're feeling, feeling sort of like pain here, or not just yung feeling that you can describe, even like feelings in the body, like, oh, my tummy is hurting or my head is aching. And then what else do you feel? Like, I feel my chest, it's like constricting. And then you can go on deeper, and then you can look at the wheel to help you give a further description, like, oh, I'm feeling disgust, I'm feeling anger, or I'm feeling rage even. And then now you've named it, the next thing to do is just sit on it. Like, let it pass. Just let it go for a while. And then, or maybe a few minutes. It depends on whatever emotion you're feeling or whatever you're going through. And then the next is, you can plan for it, right? So the next time this happens, or what do you need to do? What do you need to get out of it? What do you need to be able to function again? And for me, like, usually most of this are mindset things, like things I'm afraid to do, fear of failing, fear of success, a fear of that being good enough, or feeling that I'm stuck. Usually, especially if you're a creative person, and I think you are, and your podcast is, you being somebody running a podcast, you're creative already. Sometimes these things are called creative droughts. And one of the best ways to get out of being stuck, or get out of parang of not being able to know what's the next move, it's just to do something that's creative or good for yourself. And whether that's buying yourself a new book to read, writing something, or even just continuing your practice of journaling, that really helps you kind of like have a foothold, something that you can just move out of the paralysis and doing something. Because when you're, and even in just dancing, like moving your body, that already helps you kind of like prime your brain to move, to getting back into being functional again. So to wrap that up, it's being aware, letting the feels be felt, naming it, letting it pass or sitting on it before you take any action, and then you plan your action. Because the next time this happens, like when you feel jealous again, you already are aware, oh, this is jealousy. What happens when I'm jealous? I feel these kinds of things. What gets me out of jealousy? Talking to that person, creating a connection. I'm jealous because she has something I don't have. And in order for me to get rid of this jealousy, I'll just go talk to her and tell her, hi, I really love what you're doing. It's really my dream to have something like you do. And I'm just saying this because I really want to appreciate what you're doing. And if you have any tips for me, that would be really helpful. If not, I'm just happy you read this. So as simple as that. And for me, that takes care of jealousy. So that's an example. And jealousy is a normal thing, so don't worry. But you just had my framework of action when I become jealous of somebody. And that's what I do most of the time. Most of the time. Sometimes I just, you know, cry and write it and I'm over that and I'm done.
Yeah. Wow, you know, honestly, I really needed that. I really appreciated that and everything you said. And yeah, this episode is coming to an end already. So do you have any last words to say, Farina, about, you know, staying motivated, especially right now?
I would really encourage you to commit to something, a process, a practice. Maybe it's you're enrolling in a course, you're joining a program, or it can even be as simple as, again, starting a journaling practice, committing to reading a new book each month, or seeking connections, finding new friendships. All that we said, everything that was talked about here, is only as good as the actions you're going to take. And if all you're saying, oh yeah, that's what I could do that, but if it only remains as thoughts and not translated into action, inspiration will be meaningless, motivation will be meaningless. So I guess my quote last words would be, take action, whatever you feel inspired by from listening to this one, because everything that's been said here, again, it will be meaningless if not applied. Like even your courses, even the things you're learning, or even if you invested in a coaching program or whatnot, it will be all meaningless if you do not apply it. So take whatever information or inspiration you have from this episode and other things that you see in life, choose one that you can implement right now or later, but don't prolong it. Just start. Just take action, because taking action is really the only thing that will help you and help all of us, you and me included, to move forward.
Wow, thank you so much for that. Again, guys, you have here Farina, and I had a wonderful time talking to you again, as always. I hope you all learned a lot, just like I did. I really learned a lot from you, as always. And ayun, before we end the talaga, do you have anything else to promote? Go ahead.
Right. So I'm just going to want to invite anybody who's listening to this or seeing this, wherever you come across this episode, I would highly encourage you to take action. And one of the ways you can take action, if you're seeking connection and community, I hang out two ways. One is on my newsletter, which I'm so obsessed about. And I've been so excited about meeting different people and hearing and reading and replying to your responses. And another place where I don't hang out as much as I do, but I'm still there, is Instagram. So go ahead. I'm at Farina Santos on Instagram, or you can go to my website, farinasantos.com. Binge through the content that I have for you there and sign up for my newsletter. I send weekly sacred letters from my heart to yours. And if you're into surfing, like my background here, my newsletter is called The Lineup. So if you want to know, lineup is where the surfers gather waiting for the waves to break. So parang hangout area where everybody's waiting for. So the newsletter is called The Lineup. It's a place where, if in surfing, it's a lineup is a place where the surfers sort of like make tambay and wait for the waves to break. If you're not a Filipino, you don't know what tambay is. It's the coolest place to hang out in the water. So sign up for that. It's free. And while it's still free, join. And I read every single thing. So those are the two options you can take to just reach out. If you have any questions or violent reactions and thoughts, I'm equally excited to hear about that as well. And Isa, thank you for having me here. I really appreciate it. Guys, go to follow and support Isa. She's doing a really great job of running this podcast at her age. I mean, my age, I was just, I think, watching anime. There was no Netflix then. And I'm not that old, but I was into Rurouni Kenshin and other stuff at that time. So congratulations and happy Army Day.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Army Day also. And yeah, thank you so much again, Farina, for being here with me. And yeah, I learned a lot. Hope you learned a lot. Thank you so much. I'll also put all the links down in the episode description. So check it out. Check out Farina's podcast as well. And yeah, again, thank you so much for being here. Have a great day ahead.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Filipina Journey podcast. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at The Filipina Journey, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Spotify to get updated whenever we post a new episode. If you have any questions and or suggestions, you may contact me through my email, thefilipinajourney@gmail.com, or through our social media platforms. That will be it for today, and have a wonderful journey ahead.